Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Add up all the children in this country who have alcoholic parents, and it would almost equal the entire population of Texas, 29 million. More than 10% of children in this country live with a parent with an alcohol problem. This week has been designated as Children of Alcoholics Week. Children are the ones most often hurt by the abuse of alcohol and other addictive substances. Joining me today is Jim C. Jim C. is a sponsor working with Alateen here in Lincoln, and he is the coordinator of that effort, Alateen here in Lincoln. Jim, good to have you here. Thanks a lot for joining me on Lincoln Live today.
Thanks for having us here.
I grew up on a farm in central Nebraska, and I thought everyone worked hard because that was my world. Let's turn it toward alcoholism. In a child's world with an alcoholic parent, how do you explain alcoholism to them?
Well, one of the things we like to do is first get them into a meeting, and that's harder and harder all the time. But the other thing we explain to them right away is you may think that you're dealing with a bad person, but actually you're dealing with a very sick person. And it's very important that when you're dealing with this very sick person, the alcoholic, that you treat them sort of in the same way you would a cancer patient. In that you know that there are treatments and there could be times of remission, but remission is a hard deal. It doesn't last all the time and it may not come back again and it may never end. So that's what we try to do. We try to make them understand that this is probably different than your perception that you had before you came here, because we're telling you now that you may be dealing with a very nice person who is sick.
Well, to relate it back to my work ethic on the farm, some children of alcoholic parents think that, well, this is what I'm going through. I'll bet a lot of kids, a lot of families are going through this. And they are, as I mentioned, 29 million children living with alcoholic parents. That's a lot. That's the population of Texas. I want to go back to how you started your answer. The toughest or one of the toughest parts is just getting them to a meeting. Who brings children? Who do you find are the ones that initiate and get an agreement for a child to attend a meeting?
Well, it's probably the opposing parent. If there's only one alcoholic parent, it's probably the opposing one. They may be, in fact, in charge of the child now. But it could also be a relative, grandmas, and even friends that talk them into coming. And it's a very difficult thing to come to a room and say, my life is out of control. I can't manage it anymore. Can you help me? It's very hard to do that. But usually during the first meeting, we see a perk. And sometimes they don't ever come back, but we think we've made some kind of an inroad. It's hard for them to get there, and it's hard for them to stay.
This week has been designated as Children of Alcoholics Week. Jim C. is with Alateen here in Lincoln. What are some common characteristics of children of alcoholics?
You know, I think you asked me this before somewhere, but I really can't identify a kid who might be, but I can tell you when they do come, they're usually two different kinds and maybe a third. The first kind is a kid that's lost all their self-esteem. They've turned inward. They won't hardly look you in the eye. They talk very quietly, and they may not say anything during the whole meeting. The other one is a person who is absolutely, totally angry. They're angry at the alcoholic, they're angry at their school, they're angry at their other parent, they're angry at anything, and they're especially angry at anything that includes the word God. Third one is a kid, a teen, who takes the program as a class, works very hard at it, seems content just to do the work, and does very well in the program.
Jim, for every child that is sitting there in your group, how many do you suppose aren't there?
I couldn't understand that last part.
For every child that's in that group on any particular night, the child of a parent that's an alcoholic, how many children aren't there? How many other children are out there coping, thinking they've got this handled, or they've managed it in some way?
Well, this, we did start a meeting in a school, a middle school in Lincoln. And the counselors there know of hundreds of cases. And they tried very hard to get those cases to come to our meetings. It was still difficult. But yet, if we got one, there were probably multiples out there. So I would guess it's like 1 in 100. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know the ones that do come, they're the very minority of the whole group. And the other thing about it is, we found out the counselors know that the kids that are in this situation, and they want to help them. And they tried to change our meeting time, because the meeting time we got was just after school. And just after school, the school, LPS now is doing such a great job of activities that even after we got some kids to come and then stay for a while, they started to feel better and they wanted to do other things like they were interested in, so they wouldn't come back. The idea was, from the counselors, was to get them into a time during the school. But the Lincoln School Board didn't approve of that. Our program was too close to religion when it really isn't religion.
Mm-hmm. Jim, help me understand something here. You're talking to the child. What's the youngest age that can attend a meeting?
There's kind of a two steps here. One is, we can deal with any kid who can read and understand, and that's usually 11, and the oldest the kid can be is 19. But the other thing is, it's 13 to 18. I don't know how to tell that, but there are some things like a certain chat or something else where you have to be 13, but an elder teen meeting, the age limit is up to the sponsors who set up the group. But it is 11 to 19, somewhere in there.
Jim, never having been to a meeting, never having needed to go to a meeting, help me understand how you help the person that isn't the alcoholic. Do you ultimately want to bring in the source of this disruption in the family, the alcoholic parent, or do you deal exclusively with the tsunami that comes and impacts the behavior of a child without having to go to that alcoholic parent?
Well, we actually try to take the focus over only to the kid. Mm. We try to stay away from all the stuff about the alcoholic, because alcoholics have their own way to go to recovery. The kid's only way is to work on themselves. And all the stuff they talk about the alcoholic parent is kind of wasting their program. Mm-hmm. So what they want to talk about, and what helps them the most, is other kids just like them telling them something that helped them, you know, with their relationship with their alcoholic. And it's the interaction and sharing of sponsors too, and the kids themselves in discussing daily readings that are in our book. That's what really helps them. It's not talking about all the bad things their alcoholic is doing, but there is a lot of talking about what somebody might have done when the alcoholic said this to them, or those kind of things. And the kid thinks, well, maybe I could do that, you know?
Alcoholics have told me that every day they have to work at their problem. Is that true, too, for children of alcoholics?
I would say not.
Okay.
I would say that it's good for them to have a day off. It's good for them to get back to doing things that make them feel good. But there is, our reader is a daily reader. You can read every day. But one thing we say about the program is take what you like and leave the rest. We don't try to force anything down anybody's throat. And one of those things might be, okay, I want to read a reading every day and think about it.
I read, Jim, where 40 to 70% of the risk of developing alcohol use disorder is attributed to genetics. Does that scare a child, or how do you address that component? Do you include it when you're talking to children that this might be a genetic issue and you as a child of an alcoholic parent might have that gene?
Well, you know, diseases are genetic sometimes.
Yeah.
And this is a disease, and I've seen plenty of evidence that it is genetic, even in my own situation. We talk about it. And we say that it's not always that. You can be a one-off and become an alcoholic. But there is a lot of genetic relationship, yes.
Jim, we were quickly running out of time. There are people hearing us right now who know of children, or maybe it's a child themselves might be listening to us, that they don't know where to go. This is new to them. They're frustrated. What advice do you have for that child or for that person who knows of an alcoholic child, a child of an alcoholic parent?
Well, it's a bad time for this because our LOT meetings in Nebraska have been suspended. There are none going on right now. That's a vetting problem. That's because of a situation where we have to be sure that our sponsors are legally looked for. And that there has to be a vetting process set out that's okay with our WSO, our headquarters organization. Mm-hmm. Until we get that done, there's no Alateen meetings in Nebraska. But here's how you can get it. You can go to alanon.org and look for meetings. And you can also download the Al-Anon app, and look for meetings there. And you can find on the Al-Anon app and the Al-Anon.org, you can find electronic meetings for Alateen, and you may be talking to anybody in the world in that meeting. But there are no person-to-person meetings in Nebraska.
Jim, Al-Anon, is it A-L-A-N-O-N, or what's the correct way?
Okay, you know, we have a District 2 website, and that's just for our Lincoln part. And it's spelled A-L-A-N-O-N.
Did you get that, folks? A-L-A-N-O-N.org. You can look up meetings.
No, there's more to it. But
okay.
After you do that, you just say Lincoln, Nebraska, spell it out, .com.
Okay. Lincoln, Nebraska, spelled out, .com, or the Al-Anon app.
Or the Al-Anon app. And it's easy, it's free, it's on Google Play, download it, and that's what we have for now, and we're working very hard to get back on the person-to-person. We're probably going to do, when we get back up, we're probably going to do person-to-person, hybrid, and Zoom.
Okay.
And Zoom is a big deal because of what you talked about before. Who brings them to the meeting? when they get their phone, when they get their car, they can come to the Zoom meeting because they can just go park somewhere and
will you get back to me? Will you promise to get back to me when those Al-Anon or those Alateen meetings resume?
I'd love to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. When they resume, and they will, we'll talk again. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dale.
Jim is the coordinator of Alateen here in Lincoln, joining me on Lincoln Live.